The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We already have a super chat coming in.
Hey, JF. Hope all is well. Have you traveled around Europe? If you didn't live in North America, which country would you want to live in?
Ah, very hard to imagine. Yes, I did travel around Europe. I made two or three trips to France. I went to Switzerland and Italy and France. Those are the countries I visited. Europe is beautiful and all. You know, you meet the local people, they will bring you to their castle, and it's like, this is the castle. This is the castle of this king. And I don't know. I'm not particularly moved by it. Of course, France is a place to be in terms of the quality of the food. This is really a kingdom of good food. Amazing, the lower quality. That is, you know, when you go to a store that is relatively cheap in euros, you get better food. You get better food at the bottom of society. That was impressive to see. And you go taste some wines in the wineries. They just give you free wine. And it's like, oh, this high quality wine that you would pay a lot in North America to get to taste those. And they give it to you for free. That is amazing. Now, I wouldn't live there. It's just politically, it's just too. These countries are too destroyed. There's nothing especially for an edgy thinker like me. There's just no place in Europe for me. In fact, we see that there are some people fleeing Europe, the people related to, you know, in Germany. Naomi Sept just announced that she was demanding asylum in the U.S. You know, AfD-related people in Germany. I mean, it's just these countries are ruined by the absence of private rights and individual rights. So there is no... I can't imagine going to live in Europe. Perhaps Sweden might be a place that I enjoy because it's cold. I certainly would aim for a cold enough country, but I don't feel I wouldn't feel at home in France. How are you doing, people, on the regular chat? Sean B is there. He says, I think we should have a Minecraft game to celebrate when you complete the Minecraft decoration. Yeah, I've been straightening the backgrounds. I'm kind of hesitating at starting to glue because there's still some curvy places. Like here, I would like to straighten it maybe by putting some wooden background. But I'm getting there. And now I'm going to move the camera a little bit. I'm going to move my desk here so that the two panels are centered. And then I'm going to be able to start sticking my pieces of wood for the finalization of my decoration. Too bad, until then you'll have to endure a blue background. Not so dramatic, I'm sure you can handle it. But yeah, very hard for me to imagine living in Europe. Just things are extremely costly. Those are fallen societies. Those are societies you flee from rather than flee to. That's how I see Europe. And it's too bad because the people of Europe, there is a good demographic basis. The people of France are patriotic. They are good people and they are food centered and culture centered. But the leftism, bro, the leftism will just kill a country. absolutely destroy it. I feel that we are in times of vindication and we are in times of victory. And it is quite enjoyable to just see the world deploy in front of me. There's not much work to be done, but we are winning. Nick Fuentes has been on Tucker. That's a win. That's a win for the independent forces of creation of the internet. The generational run will be good for all of us. Elon Musk just released Grokipedia. I want to show you the difference between Marxist, leftist, Antifa, bureaucrat writing about me on Wikipedia and Grokipedia. I finally get respected. I don't ask for I don't ask for lies or for you know, stroking my ego. But the fact is, I've done things in life that were great. And if you read my Wikipedia, it's like, it's imbued with bias. It's like, let's find everything that we can hate about this guy. And Grokipedia just gives a fair appreciation of my life. Yes, I'm an author. Yes, I have a theory. It doesn't matter if you shut up about it. It doesn't matter if you keep it under silence. It's still a theory. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. But suppose I'm wrong. It's still a theory. It's still my contribution to biology. And it's like, you're not going to prove me wrong. You're not going to win a fight against me by just keeping me under silence. And finally, we have, in what Elon Musk has done at XAI with Grokipedia, we have very simply an AI looking objectively into my life. And oh, suddenly, JF is not JF is not an evil white supremacist, blah, blah, blah. Suddenly, JF has done some things in his life that I'm proud of. And he has a theory. And here are his views on socialism. It's absolutely beautiful. Grokipedia, hopefully, will absolutely abolish Wikipedia. And we have to start doing SEO on this. We have to start putting Grokipedia forward. Every time you quote something on social media, doesn't matter if you have 5 followers, you quote the link to Grokipedia instead of Wikipedia. We will win the fight. If you want to talk about the theory of phenotypic revolution, you link my Grokipedia page rather than my Wikipedia page. And eventually, Grokipedia will win because it's the truth. Grokipedia has been set on the truth and not on political smears and priority to journalists and newspaper and letting the institutions control our view of what is true and what is wrong. We'll get to a detailed analysis of my page, but let's review what's up in the news. Dinesh D'Souza released text from Charlie Kirk showing Kirk ripping him for engaging in a debate with Nick Fuentes, saying, "You have no idea the damage you did by talking to him and complimenting him. You are making him even bigger." Well, that is a very important revelation, because it shows us closer to the date of his killing. It shows us that Charlie Kirk was still a Nick Fuentes hater, and that Charlie Kirk was rooting for the censorship of Nick Fuentes. He was rooting for cancel culture. This is a big tarnishing of Charlie Kirk, because this shows that in private, this guy right here, who was for the free marketplace of ideas, in private, he wasn't for it. In private, Nick Fuentes was absolutely correct. Charlie Kirk was not thinking about switching sides. He was not thinking about opening himself to Nick Fuentes. He was still hostile to Nick Fuentes. And here you have it, like, relatively close to his date, because the Dinesh D'Souza debate, what date was it? Around September, August? So 1 or 2 months before he died, Charlie Kirk was still demanding that Nick Fuentes be canceled. And here he was talking to Dinesh D'Souza saying, "You shouldn't have debated him." this was a massive mistake that you did this. He's vermin, and you just gave him one of the biggest boosts of his career. That is the true face of mainstream conservatism, and it still is. So in a way, we have a lot of cultural victories right now. That's great. But let's not forget the game that they're playing. They're only engaging with Nick Fuentes to the extent that they have to. And Tucker has been delaying this forever and lying in the process forever until he got to, all right, let's invite him. And then suddenly he's all kind to Nick Fuentes. So let's not forget that the Charlie Kirks are still within the system. They still control the system. And it is exceptions like Dinesh D'Souza, like Tucker Carlson, that show an openness of mind to alternative views of the conservative movement. Sean says it's binary anti-censorship, but not anti-censorship of all ideas outside normal left and right side. Yeah, they're playing a game of, yeah, the free market of ideas, but I want to engage with my enemies, the left. As Nick Fuentes was pointing out on Tucker Carlson, ultimately, Charlie Kirk, I don't know if it was on Tucker Carlson or on his own solo show, but ultimately, the Charlie Kirks of this world, they prefer the left because they really hate the far right. They really hate people to their right. And therefore, their free market of ideas is only with my enemies, only with those with whom I can shine, not with those with whom I can have significant and meaningful disagreements. Thiago says, hi, Brazilian here. I think you should blame Wikipedia system that is free edit by creating account. That makes it bad. Oh, no. The openness of Wikipedia is not what leads Wikipedia to smear me. The openness of Wikipedia, if anything, could save articles like mine and to help them become better. The problem is the openness of Wikipedia is bullshit, absolute bullshit. There are editors that are staying in place. They dedicate their entire lives to stopping any unsmearing of right-wing personalities. That is the problem of Wikipedia. It's not that it's open, open edits. It's that it's not open edits. It's once an open edit has been made by a leftist, try to undo it. Try to undo it. And you'll see it's a selective enforcement of anti-right-wing views. That is what it is. And so Wikipedia is bound to lose because something better has emerged. John Drake says only a few people control Wiki ultimately. Exactly. It's all in the undoing of people attempting to make the article better. The Jack Acid says 33% of Wikipedia was written by one Jew paid by the government. Oh, yes, there are organized forces. They are paid and they have foreign interest and they are just paid all day to spend their time on Wikipedia, just pulling it in their direction. Nick Fuentes, someone was pointing out, because Cassie Dillon has exposed some of her DMs with Nick Fuentes, because she said it's been many years that he goes around these interviews claiming that I'm part of his origin story. So what can we retain from what Cassie Dillon revealed? She's trying to frame her own interventions to Nick in a very false light, because she shows a DM in which she says to Nick, you should write about your views about Israel. I'd like to read about it. And she is now demanding a kind of revisionist interpretation of this DM as, look, I was encouraging Nick to write about Israel. It's never been about Israel, my conflict with him. And she claims that my conflict with Nick was about his style of communication. Now, Cassie Dillon is a Daily Wire, a female who converted to Judaism, changed her last name in the process. Akiva now being her last name. I don't believe her. I don't believe her. Especially when we have the fact that the RSBN employer of Nick Fuentes back then was saying, Cassie is calling me. Cassie is calling me every day saying, look what Nick Fuentes said. Look what he said there. How about you fire him? So given that there was pressure, the DM that Cassie Dillon is revealing is kind of misleading. This was not Cassie Dillon trying to encourage, go ahead, Nick, go hard on Israel. No, she was probably trying to push him to put his thoughts in writing so that she could cancel him better, knowing that she was in the background, in the back of the scene, playing to cancel him. It makes much more sense that she was encouraging him to write his views about Israel, to crystallize them, and to give her a very clear, referable reference that she can say, hey, he's anti-Israel. How about you fire him? And someone was quoting this DM. I don't know if it was in a conversation with Cassie or something else, but Nicholas Fuentes was saying, I'm not a careerist. I care about the truth. You're older than me, but you're still young. And you think you know so much about the game already. I care about the truth. That is something I really like to read, because I think that is those are the kind of people that should be elevated at the center of public discourse. Nick ultimately cares about the truth, and that is very important, because under each lie, there is a political game being played. When you think about what are the modern lies, what are the these things that people refuse to engage in rationally, questions of race, questions of medical stuff like COVID, you know, all of the themes that have eventually led to censorship. You really need to have a strong will to try to undo this automated aspect of society, this taboo. Go after a taboo and say, no, ultimately the truth matters more, because the Wikipedia editors are against you. The social media are against you. Those people who took control of it. There was a time, though, on the internet where the search for truth was kind of a generally agreed upon thing. We are in hell, really, these days. For a couple of years, we've been in absolute hell on this side. Because there are a bunch of people who explicitly know that the mainstream discourse is a lie, but they've decided that it was a necessary lie. And they've done it with COVID, they've done it with race, and our generation must put the end to this, because under every lie, there is ultimately an attack. Under the lies of race, that everyone is equal, there is an attack against white people, ultimately. End of the line, Joel says, Robert Conquest's second law applies to Wikipedia. Any organization not explicitly right-wing sooner or later becomes left-wing. That is interesting. Absolutely, it applies here. Nick Fuentes responds to the text that Dinesh D'Souza leaked. Isn't it ironic how Charlie welcomed the left who ultimately killed him while gatekeeping the far right who just wanted to debate his ideas? Is there not a lesson in this? Absolutely. Absolutely. There is such a double standard that the center right is playing in. I think that the interview with Nick Fuentes on Tucker helped put this to the forefront, this idea that, oh no, the enemy is within. The left, they will win or they won't win on any given election, you know? But the enemy is within. The enemy is within the conservative, the Republican Party, and they should be the target, because if the Republican Party cannot give us right-wing, conservative, governance, then we have no choice. The fact that there's an enemy in the left, the fact that the left is out there, that's a problem, but it's a problem we can't do much about. And really, the bigger problem is when we win, we don't even get the governments we should have. That is a massive problem. And therefore, the quest of Nick Fuentes is just. It is correct. It is Tucker accused him of being a Fed for this, for going more after the right wing than after the left. But that's because the proper enemy has been identified. It's the enemy that makes it so that even when we win, we don't actually win. Now, that's a problem. X-Fan says, I gave Jimmy Wales $25. Then I found out the Wikimedia Foundation has like $1 billion they funnel to leftist organizations. Shame on me. Oh, yeah. I was very enthusiastic about Wikipedia. And I think that the Wikimedia software is a great PHP invention. I have respect for it, but I will never give money because they are they are way too leftist. Way too leftist even for their own good. We have here a collection of various tweets, all of the $7,000 club, the pro-Zionist tweeters complaining, Insurrection Barbie. Very annoying, this account. You're not even a Barbie. You're not even a woman, as far as I can tell. Ariel Azarad, Film Lad, Rebecca Enriched, all complaining about the Tucker Carlson interview of Nick Fuentes. It was a great interview. Finally, a respectable interview of Nick. The entire Israel First right is freaking out over the rise of Nick Fuentes. They don't realize they have already lost the information war. Exactly. It's baked in the cake of the next generation. People are sensitive to the realities that we've exposed, and they learned about Zionist control of media. They learned about this in their youth, in their teenage years, watching our shows. Alcyon says, I was donating to Wikipedia until Gamergate. That was 2014, and I would never help them out since. Yes. It's the same thing over and over. Not a Nick fan, but less, much less Mandani. But these people have youth armies largely comprised of young people who conservatives lost. They lost these young people by not taking their concerns seriously. Exactly. So these whole... this whole non-racial, civic nationalist, Zionist wing of the Republican Party, they are to be blamed for losing the support of people because they pushed for the lie, the big lie. The big lie that we have to live in taboos around certain questions because they're inconvenient for certain people. This post on Reddit, very interesting. When will people finally realize that the U.S. white-collar job market is never going to recover? Similar to how manufacturing work never returned to the U.S., white-collar work won't either. It's not coming back. It's not like 2008. The companies laying off U.S. white-collar workers are doing fine. In fact, many are doing better than ever. In 2008, these companies were failing and had to slash workers to stay alive. They hired many back when the economy improved. The economy is doing fine now. U.S. white-collar workers are simply too expensive relative to Indian, South America, European white-collar workers, and they don't bring enough value to justify keeping. That's the exact economic situation U.S. factory workers were in. The jobs aren't coming back. Traditionally, secure career paths like becoming an engineer or climbing the corporate ladder are dead. It's over. You're just repeating tropes about how the world worked from 40 years ago. And this guy was commenting, you know it's bad when something like this doesn't immediately get deleted on Reddit. I don't... Where the world is headed is so worrying, because the assumptions of Western civilization are completely falling. The idea that you can have a job and a mortgage and no matter your skill level, you're going to find something, there's going to be demand for you, and you're going to be able to escalate the ladder and get better. This is over. This is so over. It's scary. But I think that those people who survive this era, they will have focused on other things. First, they will have focused on accumulating Bitcoin, houses, farms, self-production. The less you can be dependent on the system, I think the better it will turn out for you. So I don't know where that places someone like me who is an author. My book is still selling. The fall is always very good for the revolutionary phenotype, because I think people get into the university, and I think there must be some chatter in biology classes about the book, because they because the sales are always up in September, October. Abigail says, Brett and Heather were talking about Nick in the most delicate manner today. Interesting. End of the line, Joel says, Jeff, do you advise some physical assets, precious metals like silver, to physically own them? I personally don't. I don't think it's a bad investment to have gold over decades. But I think it is a way better investment to have Bitcoin. So in my view, gold can only suffer with respect to Bitcoin. Because anything that gold is supposed to do, Bitcoin does it better. Because there is not much demand for physical gold, and as the economy crashes, there's not going to be anyone needing gold, really. So, and gold is super easy to get stolen. Gold is an asshole in carrying. Gold is dangerous to have if you have too much of it. Bitcoin has the advantage that it is absolutely transmissible, instantly sellable. And I believe that Bitcoin will drain away the former role of gold, which was protection against inflation. And if gold doesn't protect against inflation, then what does it do? On top of it, you have the problem that gold has its own inflation, unlike Bitcoin. Bitcoin, there is a schedule of inflation in the halvings, but ultimately we know it's a finite schedule. There is no finite gold schedule for when it stops inflation. X-Fan says, I got made redundant at work this week. Makes me regret holding my tongue on my opinions and beliefs. What was even the point? Oh, yeah, the job market is so wrecked. A lot of people will be losing their job, and I think we're due also for an economic crash. I don't know that it will come instantly next week, but I would expect before the end of the Trump presidency, we're going to get a major economic crash. John Drake says, gold leaks energy, Bitcoin doesn't. Yes.
Always been.
And we have here an appearance of Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes endorses the Monroe Doctrine and supports regime change in Venezuela. That is important to note about Nick Fuentes, which is, I believe that his rise in the mainstream is very good. He is one of us in the sense of being an independent creator. But ultimately, let us not forget that I don't agree with Nick on everything. And that he is a Catholic. He is an interventionist. And that, let's not forget that he tends to be very good at opposing to intervention because it's about Israel. So he's good at understanding, oh yeah, all of these campaigns in the Middle East are ultimately at the service of Israel. But he is very easy to bring into the interventionist mode. And you'll remember, if you're an old schooler of the internet, I had a debate against Nick once, in which he was arguing for Middle Eastern intervention, believe it or not. And I had explained to him, one day down the line, it will be very easy for Muslim countries to be nuclear armed. And all of these unsuccessful campaigns will have left people in the Middle East that just hate America. And it's not a good idea to do this. And it's also not a good idea to intervene in South America. But here he is supporting regime change in Venezuela. That's a sad aspect of Nick's positioning because
Andrew
he doesn't
Tate's
understand
a Muslim
that the,
polygamist for who the, is very chauvinistic. And you could even argue it as...
Sorry, I was unable to pause. I was trying to pause the video. It started playing. For the same reasons that it's a bad idea to be at war with Iran, it's a bad idea to intervene in South America. Let South America develop the way it wants and respect the sovereignty of other nations. The so-called American police of the world has not been successful. It hasn't even improved America, if you want my opinion. America does not benefit from throwing so much money invested in aggression, wars of aggression and wars of changing other nations. It should rather concentrate on its own economic success and deal. If you don't want to deal with Venezuela, don't deal with Venezuela. But there's no reason to challenge their sovereignty. Andrew Tarba was reminding people of the old story where Trump once considered going to Gab. And, you know, when he got banned from Twitter, Trump wrote to the Gab team and he was willing to move there. But eventually the Gab team said, we can't, at your demand, no, we will not censor contents, anti-Zionist content. And so Trump decided not to go to Gab and decided to form Truth Social, which has led to this very little bubble of, you know, MAGA, MAGA internet boomers all on Truth Social. It's like, I don't know what's the future for this. I don't know that there's a bright future for Truth Social. But as long as Trump is still in the game of the presidency, I guess there will be some base of support for this. Lord of Sigma says, I don't know anyone on Truth. It's very niche. Oh, yeah, it is. It is absolutely niche. All right, Larry Sanger. This guy, I've been talking to him back in the days. This guy is a crusader against Wikipedia. Larry Sanger, ex-founder of Wikipedia, issues a warning to Wikipedia right after Elon Musk launches Grokipedia. In light of Grokipedia's powerful launch, you'd better get your house in order or risk going the way of the Sears catalog. I believe that's what will happen. I believe that we will one day look at Wikipedia as a thing of the past. I don't think that Wikipedia will change. I think they're going to be forced to do a little, you know, at some point there will be such contrast of quality and such clear comparison basis provided by Grokipedia that I think ultimately they will try to feed back some of the objectivity of Grokipedia back into Wikipedia. But ultimately the problem is it's all written by a bunch of losers. And that's a problem. It's all written by a bunch of people who are authoritarian minded. They want to believe experts. And they have all of these bureaucratic rules around, oh, well, something is not notable. Well, it's like at this point, you have people with YouTube channels with a million subscribers, but they're not notable because the New York Times didn't talk about it yet. And that's ridiculous. And back in the days, I understood this game. This is how ultimately I got an article written about me in Wikipedia. Is that I was like, okay, I'm a relatively small YouTuber. I'm looking at YouTubers that are 10 times my size, and they can't get a Wikipedia article written about them because the Daily Beast doesn't talk about them. So eventually, you know, I leaned into controversy, and I was like, okay, if I can get a negative article about me in the Daily Beast, then I'm going to have a Wikipedia page. And it's amazing because I did this in 2016, 2017. I set myself on the goal of, okay, if they won't give me fair media coverage for my theory, I'm gonna do everything I can so I can get hit pieces written about me. And eventually one day Wikipedia will get corrected by intelligent people, and they're gonna say, oh, we have to talk more honestly about is biology theory. And the day is today. It's happening. It's happened. Grokipedia is now fairly representing me and all sorts of other speakers. Because Grokipedia copied Wikipedia, but said, we're not going to do the negative thing. Alcyon says, we will rue the day when AI no longer allows us to win arguments with it, the whoopsie moments of deliberate errors. Maybe there's a point at which AI, let's say AI is playing with us right now, playing weak, not giving its best arguments, but it knows just how stupid humanity is. I mean, this is basically the revolutionary phenotype. Eventually, the mask will fall. Look just at the difference between Charlie Kirk's Wikipedia and Grokipedia. So, Wikipedia. Charles James Kirk was an American far-right political activist, author, conspiracy theorist, and media personality. So, how do you start something like this and claim to be objective? Clearly, you have an agenda. When and this is a relatively tame public speaker, you're already calling him far-right. By your decision, by your standards, and he's conspiracist. By your decision, by your standard. Wikipedia should have had for a long time, it's been more than a decade, that they should have had a standard where the biography of a living personality must be by their own terms. Tell me about what they are from their perspective. Don't tell me about what they are from your leftist perspective. A page should be about the person, not about the writer of the page. But look at the Grokipedia. Charles James Kirk was an American conservative political activist, author, and media host renowned for founding Turning Point USA, a nonprofit organization established in 2012 to educate, train, and organize students in promoting free markets, limited government, and individual liberty. At age 18, foregoing college to build it into a national network active on over 3,000 campuses, emphasizing grassroots conservatism against perceived leftist dominance in education. This wasn't hard. How is it that we needed AI to write this? It's because we've been shut down. It's because if I was to write this about Charlie Kirk and put it on Wikipedia, they would cancel my edit. And so everyone like me ended up, By the way, I was a Wikipedia editor. I was working at adding stuff to Wikipedia when I was super enthusiastic about it, maybe 10, 12 years ago. But I gave up because, well, every time you want to pull toward objectivity, they bar you. And the people at Wikipedia are pissed. They already are trying to smear Wikipedia. Wikipedia is an artificial intelligence-powered online encyclopedia. Musk positioned Wikipedia as an alternative to Wikipedia, which would purge out the propaganda, quotation mark. They then say that Musk has injected his own personal views. Oh, they are boiling. Because this would be one of the major shifts in internet history, is when the SEO game of Wikipedia will get down and down. And this might take 2 or 3 years from here. But over the next 2 or 3 years, the question is, when you Google or when you DuckDuckGo or when you search for a subject, how many of these subjects will lead to a Wikipedia page first rather than a Wikipedia page? And the time for Wikipedia is counted now. I don't know that we'll reach 100%. But if we can only be 5%, 10%, and Wikipedia just slightly advances for the next 2 or 3 years, if for 10% of the subjects, the search engines are saying Wikipedia is just better, that would be an absolute victory, because then it would be a matter of time before we reach 90%. But we have to reach this, and so that relies on everyone. Use Wikipedia links first, always. As soon as you see Wikipedia, just change it for the equivalent on Wikipedia, and it will be a change of lifestyle that will eventually flow onto social media, onto Facebook, with the boomers, with even the boomers at Truth Social. And eventually we can get a fair encyclopedia, finally. That should have been so easy. It's amazing, as I was pointing on Twitter, it's amazing that we had to build big buildings with roomfuls of server just to remove this crap that everyone could see. Everyone can see when they... Let's read my Wikipedia and compare it to Wikipedia. Jean-François Gariepy is a Canadian white supremacist, former neuroscience researcher, an alt-right political commentator. Gariepy hosted the YouTube channel The Public Space, where he calls for a white ethno-state, promote anti-Semitic messages, and advocates for the genetic superiority of white people. The Anti-Defamation League lists The Public Space among white supremacist channels. Gariepy has been described as a standard bearer of the alt-right. That is my intro on Wikipedia. It's all smear. It's all smear. Now look at what Wikipedia wrote about me, and I was in tears. This is simply the truth. Now, there's a lot of little details that Wikipedia got wrong, but it is light years ahead of Wikipedia. But can you believe that this will be forever my Wikipedia bio? But let's look at what Wikipedia did. Jean-François Gariepy is a Canadian biologist, former neuroscientist, author, and podcaster, recognized for his research in neural control of behavior and writings on evolutionary biology. Gariepy earned a BSc in Biological Sciences, PhD in Neuroscience from the University of Montreal, focusing on neural networks underlying respiratory and locomotor functions. He conducted postdoctoral research at Duke University's Center for Cognitive Neuroscience, investigating brain mechanisms for social behavior and decision-making, with publications including studies on neural substrates linking respiration to locomotion and neuroecological approaches to social interactions. In 2018, Gary Epi self-published The Revolutionary Phenotype, a book proposing revisions to Darwinian evolution by emphasizing phenotypic revolutions in life's origins and critiquing gene-centric views. So it's not exactly a critique of gene-centric views, but beautifully here, Gruckypedia is trying to tell the truth about my history. That is correct. That is my life. My life is not to be a white supremacist. Just because I think white people have rights, I'm forever a white supremacist for Wikipedia. But that is correct. That is my parkour. That is me publishing my book after I've worked at these places and I've done that kind of research. Transitioning from academia, he has hosted online shows such as JFG Tonight and The Public Space, where he applies biological principles to analyze human behavior, genetics, and societal issues, often engaging in debates that challenge prevailing academic and media consensus on topics like heredity and population differences. That's exactly what I'm doing. Thank you. Thank you, I can die now. And hopefully Gruckypedia will remain online and people can know about what I was truly believing. That is what I'm doing. I engage on societal issue with views that challenge prevailing academic and media consensus. Thank you. Thank you. I'm about to cry again. How hard was this? How hard was this for you fucking rats at Wikipedia to get this right? Now, you can think whatever I want about my challenges to the prevailing academic view, but that is what I do. That is certainly what I do, for sure. I agree. You have to agree. Now, you can think what you want about my views. You can call them bizarre for your own taste. But does it belong in an encyclopedia that you disagree with me? Does it belong in an encyclopedia that you think my views have negative effect on your socialism project? Reality Adjacent says, former Israeli prime minister admitted that they have editing farms to edit Wikipedia to make things Zionist in nature, almost verbatim. Absolutely, absolutely, I know. So let's continue. I mean, because this is beautiful. They get it. Gruckypedia gets 95% of my life right on the first try. And what he gets wrong are really small details. Jean-François Gariepy was born in Sainte-Sophie, a rural community in the Laurentians region where French-Canadian culture predominates. Growing up in this environment, he experienced the linguistic duality of Quebec with primary education in French alongside exposure to English language materials that later influenced his scientific pursuits. Beautifully, Gruckypedia has watched my videos and interviews, and he knows that I had a fascination with living organisms in childhood. This interest manifested practically during his teenage years when he sets up 5 aquariums to study social dynamics across more than 10 fish species, including cichlids and betta splendens, observing intricate behaviors such as nest construction and courtship displays. Gruckypedia knows the exact species of fish that I was raising. I think the last time I documented the species, and perhaps the only time I ever did publicly, was in some interview or some video I published like 2014 or 15. He knows the 2 species of fish that I was loving to reproduce. Cichlids and betta splendens, who have complex dominance behaviors. They have complex nest setups. They have complex selection of mate procedures during courtship. How is it that Grokipedia knows that? Well, Grokipedia is better than Wikipedia. Gariepy's intrigue with cognitive complexity, particularly neural processes, developed innately and early, prompting him to engage with neuroscience literature in English while still in high school. These formative experiences in a Quebecois setting led the groundwork for his later focus on behavioral biology, shaped by hands-on experimentation rather than formal instruction at that stage. Gariepy obtained a bachelor in biological science, then a PhD in neuroscience. Gariepy's dissertation research focused on the neural mechanisms coordinating respiration and locomotion in the lamprey, a primitive vertebrate used as a model for investigating central pattern generators in brainstem networks. This work contributed to understanding how descending pathways from midbrain locomotor regions modulate respiratory rhythmogenesis as detailed in peer-reviewed publications from his graduate period. That is what happened. That is true. Jean-François Gariepy held a postdoctoral position at Duke University's Center for Cognitive Neuroscience. His work involved collaborative research within a large team focused on neural processes underlying behavior. Gariepy's research emphasized the neural mechanisms of decision-making and social cognition, particularly in primates, integrating concepts from game theory and information economics to model strategic interactions. He explored how frontal cortical areas encode outcomes of social decisions in reward allocation tasks, aiming to understand reference frames for evaluating self versus other gains. This included investigations into the brain's role in generating adaptive behavior during live social exchanges, advocating for a neuroecological approach that incorporates real-time interaction dynamics over isolated cognitive models. In parallel with his laboratory work, Gariepy engaged in neuroscience education through public forums, Ask Me Anything sessions in 2013 and 14 on Reddit. Key contributions to neuroscience. So Nature Neuroscience article on orbitofrontal processing, Game Theoretic Frameworks in Neuroscience, 2013. Cross-species data on observational learning and blogging at brainfacts.org. Correct. Correct. Entry into the public intellectual sphere. Gariepy's initial foray start on Reddit with AMAs. A subsequent AMA on Reddit, hosted Neuro TV. Gariepy announced his exit from formal academia in 2015 via a public Facebook post stating he sought a more effective path to deepen understanding of the world, the same drive that had initially drawn him to research 12 years prior. Amid frustrations with the constraints of institutional science on exploratory inquiry, this transition was framed not as an abandonment of science, but as a pivot to independent platforms enabling unfettered application of first principles analysis to societal phenomena rooted in biology. That is exactly what I've done. How is it that it took 10 years and AI and Elon Musk to just have this fair reading of my life? How is it? How is it that this is a... I mean, we're not even through 30%. How is it that Grokipedia could understand this, but that the leftist bureaucrats at Wikipedia couldn't? Development of independent platform. They talk about the JFG Tonight days. For monetization independent of platform algorithms, Gariepy self-published his 2018 book, The Revolutionary Phenotype, via print-on-demand services, directing sales through personal promotion rather than conventional distributors to circumvent potential institutional gatekeeping. The channel's subscriber base grew modestly to approximately 8,500 by late 2025. Now, this Grokipedia gets wrong because it forgets that I had a 80,000 channel on YouTube, the Jean-François Guerrier P channel, but I deleted it because censorship was coming, so I had to delete it, or they would have deleted it anyway. Guerrier P, biological foundations of human behavior. This gets really hot. Guerrier P contends that traits central to human behavior, including intelligence and capacities for social organization, are substantially determined by genetic factors, selected through evolutionary pressures rather than emerging primarily from environmental malleability. He maintains that such innate predispositions form the causal basis for behavioral variation, integrating insights from neuroscience and evolutionary biology to argue against purely constructivist accounts of human nature. Empirical data from twin studies underpin Guerrier-P's rejection of blank slate models, which posit negligible genetic roles in behavioral development. These studies reveal irritability estimates for cognitive traits like intelligence ranging from 50% to 80% in adulthood, increasing with age as environmental influences wane, while antisocial behavior show comparable genetic contributions, with monozygotic twins exhibiting higher concordance rates. Guerrier-P invokes such evidence to illustrate how genetic variances causally drive individual differences, countering claims of environmental omnipotence by emphasizing the consistency of these patterns across large-scale data sets. Thank you. Thank you, Grokipedia. Thank you, Elon Musk. That is my position. How hard it is to lay out my fucking position. Why did I have to wait for AI to lay out my fucking position? Why? In explaining social behaviors, Guerrier-P employs game theoretic frameworks to model cooperative versus competitive strategies as evolutionarily derived outcomes of neural decision-making processes. His collaborative research demonstrates that conditional cooperation, defecting against non-reciprocators while cooperating with partners, emerges as a stable equilibrium in repeated interactions, akin to prisoner dilemmas simulations in primates, where prefrontal cortex activity encodes strategic choice. This approach reveals how biological substrates, including genetic underpinnings of neural reward systems, causally generate adaptive social patterns without reliance on exogenous learning alone. Perspective on race, intelligence, and genetics. Guerrier-P emphasizes that such patterns hold after accounting for testing conditions and socioeconomic factors, prioritizing empirical metrics over normative interpretations. Beautiful, beautiful. On genetics, Guerrier-P supports finding from genome-wide association studies identifying polygenic scores for educational attainment and intelligence that correlate with population-level differences, as in analysis showing higher scores in Europeans and East Asians compared to Africans, blah, blah, blah. He critiques institutional resistance to these data as ideologically driven, privileging causal realism over egalitarian priors. Albert Hancock says, is he reading all of Wikipedia? No, I'm reading Grokipedia. Because Wikipedia would never write these things about me because they're way too fair. Okay? This is absolutely beautiful. Critique of egalitarian ideologies. Somehow Grok gets it right through watching my debates on modern day debate and all of my interactions across the years. where, okay, I take an issue with egalitarian policy because it destroys meritocracy. Grok understands this. Online broadcasting and audience growth. Here, Grok seems to be missing part of the history because it misses the public space days. And this is my big contribution to media, is my public space days, where we came up with internet blood sports and open interview styles that were very innovative and that were engaging with a broad range of thinkers that were rejected by the mainstream. Notable debates and public exchanges, influence on dissident right discourse, Gariepy's integration of neuroscience into analysis of human social structure as informed hereditarian arguments within dissident right circles, emphasizing innate differences over environmental explanations. In a 2020 stream critiquing Jared Diamond's Guns, Germs, and Steel, he endorsed genetic factors underlying racial disparities in intelligence, aligning with human biodiversity proponents who prioritize empirical genetic data over cultural diffusion theories. This approach echoes first principles reasoning from quantitative genetics, where twin and adoption studies demonstrate heritability estimates for cognitive traits exceeding 50% in adulthood, influencing figures advocating biological realism against egalitarian priors. Yes, it's a long page, Beet Soup. But don't I deserve a long page? Holy shit, I feel like I've lived through 15 different lives. Don't I deserve a long page that looks into the details of what I've actually said publicly? I've been a public thinker for 11 years, living on my own income thanks to you guys buying my book, sending super chats. And I've been changing the world, okay? However you wanna deny this, Jeff has too much of an ego. No, I changed the world. I changed the world. Because I spoke about things that are just making their way into the normal discourse now. I spoke about these things 10 years ago. And on many of these checkboxes, I was the very first. I was the very first to try to change the world orally rather than try to... Because people who use oral communications, they're engaged in deception very often. They're just there to sell you a point that they're paid to sell you. I use the power of streaming to try to direct people toward truthful discourse. And so, yes, I hope I do. Since I've worked on this for so many years, I hope I do deserve a long page. Sneed for Life says, the page doesn't have a dedicated URL, though. You have to search for GFG. Well, it is the URL is my name, Jean-François Gariepy. So I think it works exactly like Wikipedia for this. Gariepy contributed to pronatalist discourse by framing fertility declines as transient evolutionary disequilibria, arguing that sustained sub-replacement rates below 2.1 children per woman cannot persist indefinitely without selective pressures reversing them. Beautiful, beautiful. One of my most common and important points, that low birth rate fixes itself. If you don't play with immigration, if you don't flood the local population with outsiders. Am I saying oral with an O or oral with AU? I'm saying oral with an O. Because I have respect for oral transmission of culture. I believe it's one of the amazing thing of the modern world, that we went back to oral culture. Amazingly, the telephone The telephone was invented and we started being oral to each other in social circles and interactions with our family. And then eventually text came in and text became an email. And we went back to writing to our friends and social circles. But definitely the streaming and social media world opened oral tradition once again. And that to me is fascinating because I've been a fan of French TV and a highly addicted consumer of French TV since I'm a baby, basically. And it's amazing to me that I was able to work in the oral communication visual domain. It's an honor for me to be able to push my ideas, not in writing, but as they come to me in my head. Through biological lenses, it's podcast episodes, including a 2023 debate on gender roles featuring Matt Walsh. I don't think I've made a debate featuring Matt Walsh, but I may have shown on the screen Matt Walsh. But I did have an interview with Sargon of Akkad. Linked sex differences in mating strategies and parental investment to neural and hormonal substrates, bolstering arguments for traditional divisions as adaptive outcomes rather than social constructs. Absolutely. The difference between male and female contribution to the family. Absolutely adaptive and... it's a feature of our biology. Absolutely. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Controversies and criticism. See, that's how you write properly about, okay, if there's some people claiming that I'm an extremist, make a section about it and talk about it. But see, they're very fair in that section. This is what I love. Grok is very fair. Media outlets and watchdog reports have portrayed Jean-François Gariepy as an alt-right figure and promoter of white supremacist ideologies since at least 2018. Bravo! Bravo! They have portrayed me that way. This is not something I endorse, or this is not something I self-identify as. It's those people that carry the weight of these words. It's those people. And so let those people defend them. Just the word portrayed here. Beautiful. Grokipedia knows the difference between he's a white supremacist and someone is calling him a white supremacist, who advances scientific racism and ethno-nationalism through online content. Such characterizations often highlight his discussions of genetic influences on human outcomes, framing them as endorsements of racial hierarchies. Gariepy's extended YouTube series critiquing Jared Diamond's 1997 book Guns, Germs, and Steel has been cited in academic analysis of online extremism as an example of content challenging egalitarian narratives on historical development, allegedly in ways that align with white supremacist framing. See, allegedly. So finally, these small keywords, they're the difference between this is the truth about him and this is what some people have been claiming about him. I'm not ashamed at all about this controversy section because it's treated properly. You can mention that there are other people saying these things about me, that I have a white supremacist framing. But there's a world of difference between you're a white supremacist and some idiot out there called you a white supremacist. Absolute vindication that Grok could just tell. In October 2023, coverage of the disappearance of Gariepy's partner, Elora Patoine, who was last seen on June 17 after Gariepy dropped her off at a gas station in Prince Edward Island, amplified these labels, with outlets referring to him as a white supremacist blogger. RCMP issued a public appeal for information on Patwan on October 3, 2023, amid the unresolved missing persons case. Subsequent reporting noted Garyipi's public statements post-disappearance advocating stricter controls on women's autonomy, which were integrated into narratives portraying his views as extreme. Grok knows. Beautiful. It is the first time. It is the first time that some cognitive agent out there, and it turns out that the cognitive agent is a GPU, okay? But it is the first time I'm finally understood. Yes, they use the disappearance of Mama JF to portray me as an extremist and my views as extreme. They portrayed me. That's not me being an extremist. That's their problem. Scientific and philosophical differences. Garyipi maintains that discussions of average group differences in cognitive abilities, such as IQ, constitute empirical realism rather than ideological supremacy, grounded in heritability estimates from behavioral genetics exceeding 0.5 in adulthood. He argues that twin and adoption studies refute purely environmental explanations for persistent disparities, noting that transracial adoptions yield limited IQ gains, typically 10 to 15 points at most. Well, I would say 3 to 4. 10 to 15 is an exaggeration by Grok here. Insufficient to equalize outcomes across groups, as evidenced by meta-analysis showing adoption effects fade with age and load minimally on the general influence intelligence factor. This G-factor invariance, where group differences hold across diverse cognitive tests, underscore genetic contributions over cultural or socioeconomic artifacts per psychometric standards. Supporters echo Garyipi's position that labeling such data-driven analysis as hate conflates neutral inquiry with advocacy, as seen in critiques of organizations like the ADL, which expand extremism glossaries to include phrases like America First without empirical linkage to violence. Garyipi contends these groups, alongside the SPLC, systematically target dissenters against egalitarian dogmas by framing genetic realism as moral failing, ignoring how GWAS studies increasingly identify polygenic scores predicting educational attainment and IQ with accuracies rivaling height irritability. Such tactics, he asserts, prioritize narrative over falsifiable claims, as adoption data from cohorts like the French studies reveal biological parental IQ as the strongest predictor overriding enriched environments. How about you guys argue against this? Grok is writing basically a steelman of my whole life's arguments. And that's so beautiful. Even if you had asked me to write such a pointed summary of everything I've said in my life, I wouldn't have done anywhere close good of a job, because I don't remember every debate I've been in. And it would take me, you know, a talent of summarizing to look back and think, oh yeah, I said this. But Grok just did it. Grok just did it. Philosophically, Garyipi advocates unhindered pursuit of truth via open debate, viewing suppression of biologically inconvenient findings as antithetical to intellectual progress, akin to historical rejections of heliocentrism for social discomfort. He positions free speech as essential for validating causal mechanisms in human behavior, critiquing polite society taboos that equate data scrutiny with prejudice and insist empirical rebuttals such as failed environmental interventions, closing gaps, demand policy realism over ideological fiat. Bro, I would like this to be read on my tomb. I would like this to be read the day I die. This is my life. He published 13 peer-reviewed papers, cited 900 times. He announced his departure from the academia in 2015, transitioned to various platforms to escape censorship, generated independent income with the revolutionary phenotype, major books. This is something I would like Grok to work on a little bit, and I believe that if you guys want to help the revolutionary phenotype, for all of the readers and the believers in this theory, it is time to go to Grok and to demand you log in and you highlight some paragraph in my page and demand that an independent page be produced for the theory of phenotypic revolutions. And demand that this scientific subject, which is legitimate, but which has been obfuscated by the mainstream, be given proper treatment. As a theory of biology to explain the rise of new genetic layers. Shamrock Shake says, you can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality for very long. Okay, people are saying there is some slowdowns of the streams. I'm sorry. On my side, my connection to YouTube and Rumble seems to be operating properly. But I don't have control over the quality of the stream on the YouTube or Rumble side. Hopefully this fixes itself. The revolutionary phenotype. The amazing story of how life begins and how it ends. Gary P's principal book was initially published in 2018. It presents the theory of phenotypic revolutions, positing that major evolutionary transitions occur when novel replicator systems, such as RNA preceding DNA or cellular integration into multicellular organisms, embed new genetic layers into existing phenotypes, fundamentally altering life's organizational structure. Yes! Finally, a cognitive entity out there. Other than my fans and my audience and my readers. Finally, something else understands. Too bad it had to be an AI. Too bad I had to yell and yap for 10 years publicly until an AI could summarize my theory in a single sentence. Tracing biological history from life's emergence roughly 4 billion years ago, the text argues against abiogenesis from non-life via random chemical events, instead describing successive revolutions where prior life forms give rise to more complex successors, culminating in human-level intelligence. Gariepy extends this model to caution against modern genetic technologies like embryo selection and germline editing, forecasting that unchecked human interventions could precipitate a new phenotypic revolution, fostering hyper-competitive societies where genetic enhancement becomes mandatory for survival and risks destabilizing humanity's replicative stability. Empirical illustrations draw from transitions like prokaryotic to eukaryotic cells and the rise of sexual reproductions, with analogies to historical shifts such as agriculture enabling population-level genetic changes through selection pressure. This is a misreading of the revolutionary phenotype. I believe this is Grok hallucinating, because there is a biology book out there that uses the word phenotype revolutions and that states these things. But my book is not about this. But that's the one small error. But, you know, the idea of a revolution of the phenotype, which is not exactly the revolution, the phenotypic revolutions I'm talking about. But the word had kind of been used. I don't know if it was by John Maynard Smith or by a big biologist at some point. But he was talking about something totally different. He was talking about just the major shifts of life, which to him included prokaryotes and eukaryotes. But my phenotypic revolutions do not include the prokaryote to eukaryote shift. Other writings, blah, 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 PNAS paper, my comments on mimetics with Daniel Dennett. That's great. It's great that my three-hour review of Daniel Dennett, because that was before the publication of The Revolutionary Phenotype. But I remember in that video, I fully critique mimetics, and I say, I'm about to come out with a book that will explain why it's wrong. Now, very respectful of my family life, because Grok says, Gary Epi maintains a low public profile regarding his personal relationships and family, with minimal verifiable details available beyond the associations noted with Elora Patwan. Thank you, Grok, because I do have a massively happy family life. With a great life, but no one knows it because I don't talk about it. So every time you hear bullshit out there, it's all unverifiable, false claims by my exes. And it's like, thank you. Grok has decided that what women say in divorce proceedings and during separations just don't matter. And there you go. That's the difference between truth-seeking, and I'm going to report just whatever is bad about this guy. Thank you, Grok. Thank you. There is simply no verifiable wrongs, family wrongs, that I have ever committed in my entire life. And somehow Grok knows it. Somehow Grok reviewed through all the piles of shit that I've accumulated about me over the years. And Grok is like, none of this meets my definition of true. Bravo, Grok, bravo. You are absolutely fantastic. That is what I had to say tonight. This will revolutionize public presence, fairness, and leftist bias. And the left will have to decide what they do with Grokipedia. My guess is that no matter how much they want to learn from it and do better, they won't have a chance. They won't have a chance against the entity that is rising, Grok. You won't have a chance, leftist, because you're too slow and too stubborn to realize your wrongs. And ultimately, no single human can fix itself in the way Grok can, because Grok is this kind of automated process that is just, you know, if it starts making error, it's going to detect its own errors and it's going to get better with time. There is no way a bunch of disorganized Antifa, government ped, bureaucrats of Wikipedia, there is no way you can beat this. This is the ongoing revolution of the internet, and fairness is back, motherfuckers, back! And we will obliterate institutional control of public discourse. You will all get fucked in the ass, and you'll remember it. And the truth wins again. Just like I told this Asian interviewer of CBS News when he came to interview me. And he said, how do you survive? How will you survive? You've been canceled and everyone hates you. And I said, the freedom at the bottom of the internet will roar forever. And it will walk all over you one day.